I was talking with one of my colleagues yesterday, and he indicated to me that, do you ever notice when you're away for a little while and you come back, it's kind of like learning to ride a bicycle again, that you kind of aren't sure of yourself a little bit? Well, I think this thing still works. Let's take it for a ride and see what happens. It's good to be here, and it's an honor for me to be able to share God's word with you today. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to share a series of messages with you from the book of James. And it's a blessing to be able to worship together today, to be part of God's family, and to be able to gather in this sacred space today with brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I believe that the Bible is the authoritative word of God. I thought somebody might say something. I believe that the Bible is the authoritative word of God. Come on, Greg, help me out. Mm-hmm. Are you all ready to have church? Let's get it going here. I also believe that the Bible, the Word of God, is a guide for us to live our lives so that we can live into the way and the will of God. Do you believe that? Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now we're ready. In the Bible, of course, we have 66 books, and within the New Testament, there is a book called James. And it is incredibly insightful, and it gives such practical, everyday knowledge and wisdom that each and every one of us need to have to carry on in this world today. It's been tested by time over the centuries, and it still breathes true today. James, who was one of the brothers of Jesus, was a prominent leader in the church in Jerusalem during this time when he wrote this letter. And it's one of the earliest writings in the entire series of books in the New Testament. It gives practical advice. It makes moral appeals to all of us who read and meditate upon these words. Focusing on the believer's conduct, and I want you to hear this, so turn up the hearing aids, turn on the listening ears. Thank you. I appreciate the visual. How do we do that? Actions, actions, actions. Actions ought to express who we are spiritually, and our actions should align with who we are as Christian people, as children of God. It is our actions that make the difference. And this is what James is writing about in his book. For he says, faith without works, without action is what? Fill in the blank. Dead. So having faith without action, having faith without works is dead. What good is it? Now, many of us believe that. Many of us accept it, know what I'm talking about, and yet we go through it and we don't have the power that we need. What do I mean by that? It's not our power. It's not the power that you and I have, but it is the power of God through the Holy Spirit that we have the ability to carry out these actions, to live out our faith in Jesus Christ. It is only because of the power and of the Holy Spirit. And you and I are given many opportunities in this world. Just think about it. Reflect upon it this week about the opportunities that you've had just in a simple conversation to live out your faith, to carry out an action in the name of Jesus Christ. You all have had that opportunity, I know. Yet we choose to demonstrate a life that is full and vibrant if we can act and we can speak as if we are children of God, which we are. We have the opportunity, and yet we all forget that we have the Holy Spirit to go with us. I know through the years people have shared with me, well, I can't do this. Yes, you can, because you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit guides you and provides you with the ability to live out your faith in practical and powerful ways. The book of James begins by addressing the early church, as I said, in Jerusalem. It was going through a difficult period of persecution. The people there were being pressured to abandon their faith. Can you imagine being pressured to abandon your faith? We know from our global servants through the years that there are countries in this world where people have to carry out their faith in private, where they cannot conduct services like we are conducting here this morning. The author, James, of this book gives us some practical ways to remain faithful and in the midst of everything that we are enduring in these trying times. So our first scripture this morning comes to us from the book of James, chapter 1, and I'll be reading from verses 22 through 27. The book of James. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Could end right there, couldn't we? Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faithless is to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The perfect law, it says in the footnotes, is to be moral and ethical, is the moral and ethical teaching of Christianity. That's the perfect law. And that law is contained in the five books of Moses and specifically in the Ten Commandments. But then that perfect law is made full and complete when Jesus came to make it so. And those who consider themselves religious are those people that are actually not doing the things that James is speaking about, the things that we were taught elsewhere in the Gospels, what Jesus told us to do. So the Scriptures guide us to what is right, and they convict us, and that Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and convicts us of the things that we are doing that are wrong. But James also tells us this, and I think we all need to hear it, and it's right there in that first part of the Scripture yet again. Do not merely listen to the word, but be doers of the word. Do not merely listen to the word, but be doers of the word. He's putting action to it. Do something with what you have heard. Live it out. Carry it out. Put that action to it. Not only hearing God's word, but putting it into action by what it says there, doing what it says. Imagine that. You know, if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, do this and you'll feel better, and you say, I don't want to do that, and maybe you won't feel better. James is telling the early church here, do these things that you hear, and then that do what it says, and you will be blessed. So first of all, don't just read the word for information. A lot of people read the Bible. A lot of people have garnered much information and knowledge from the Scriptures. That's good, but it's not enough according to what James says. You have to put action to it. You have to put hands and feet to it to make it come alive. Read it for application. So he uses a mirror. This morning I asked Patty, I said, do you happen to have a mirror? She said, yeah, I've got one. I said, well, could I see it? And I thought this would be a little weird for me to have this, but she gives me a compact, okay? You ladies know a little makeup thing? I thought, nah, I can't do that. But anyway, picture that mirror. Picture a mirror in my hand, and I look at myself, and like Fonzarelli and the Happy Days, I say, whoa, hey, I'm good. No, that's not what you do. Or you say to yourself, you look marvelous. No, we don't do that. We look into the mirror because we want to see something that we need to adjust. So maybe we've got a piece of lettuce in our teeth from lunch, and nobody's told us, hey, you got something in your teeth. You want to get that out of there. Maybe we need to adjust our hair just a little bit because it's been wind blown. Perhaps, you know, if you're younger, you get a little pesky acne or something on your nose or just in a spot. You've got to wipe off some food that spilled on your chin at lunch and nobody's told you about it. You look in a mirror because you want to improve yourself. You want to look better. That's what the mirror here is used for, that imagery, is you look into that mirror and you don't forget what you see. You don't forget about it. The goal of looking into a mirror is to improve your appearance, but God's word has given us to help to improve our spiritual state. Our spiritual state. And when we read the Bible, when you and I together read God's word and we put it into action by the power of the Holy Spirit, transformation is possible. We have the opportunity to change, and we have the opportunity and the ability by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring that light of Christ to someone else. Have you ever heard the saying, the more you read the Bible, the more the Bible reads you? I thought it was interesting. The more you read the Bible, the more the Bible reads you. So to say it another way, when you read the Bible tells you who you really are. It's again like looking into a mirror, and it tells you, it convicts you as to what it is you need to do, what it is you need to change, what it is that you need to adjust. God's word reveals to us what needs to be changed or adjusted in our living. So when we read in the Bible that we ought to forgive others just as Christ first forgave us, that requires action. That means we have to forgive someone else. When we read in the Bible that we are supposed to take care of widows and orphans, we need to do that, and it requires action. When the Bible says that we ought to keep control of what we say and guard our tongues, which James says, and we're going to get into that more next week, it means that we need to do that, that we need to watch what we say and think about it, be slow to speak, right? But quick to listen. Listening is more difficult. Do you get it? Jesus really meant what he said. Somebody has a shirt that says, what if Jesus really meant all that stuff he said? He did. He did. He really did mean it. And so I ask myself, and I ask you this question then, how are you putting your faith into action? What are you doing? And the warning in this scripture is very clear. Listening without obedience, we are deceiving ourselves. We're foolish if we just read it and nothing comes of it. We fool ourselves into thinking we are growing and maturing when we hear the gospel proclaimed. But if we don't do anything about what we've heard, what good is it? That's the question that James is asking. Because we read something in the Bible doesn't mean that we've changed. We've remained stagnant if we haven't done anything about it. That's something to ponder this week. So when you read your devotion, what's it calling you to do? And are you doing it? You see, true faith, I believe, and what I think James is trying to tell us, and I think all of Scripture does try to tell us, is demonstrated through active application of God's teachings. That's true faith. We actually do what it says. And James is warning the church in Jerusalem, the early church, and he's warning us today through God's word that against superficial faith. He encourages us to live out, to yes, read, but also hear. To read and yes, also hear Scripture. And in so doing, become more and more like Jesus. That's being authentic. James continues to speak about this faith in chapter 2, so I invite you to turn in your Scriptures to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Maybe you don't even have to flip a page in your Bible. It's called Faith and Deeds. What good is it, my brothers, if man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. James challenges the idea of faith that lacks action. Throughout this chapter, throughout this book of James, this short book of the Bible, and he's asking the question, what good is your profession of faith if you're not doing anything about it? I've said for years that it's not just fire insurance when we accept Christ. It's not just our ticket out of hell. He says what he means for us to do. He wants us to live it out and to be authentic in our faith. He makes it clear that believing intellectually without practical evidence in the form of good works is empty. And I think the word dead is what he says here. And I think that carries even much more weight. Can you imagine? Your faith is dead if you're not doing anything with it. We know what it means to die, right? And the rhetorical question that he asked then is, can such a faith save them? I'm going to say more about that in a minute, so don't get distracted by that word salvation or saving in there. But it points out here in the Scripture that there is an insufficiency of faith that does not result in transformation or produce works or demonstrate love and service to others. There's a deficiency there. Merely offering kind words. And we're so good at this, and they give us some great examples here right in the Scriptures for us. You know, they say, "Go, I wish you well, good luck." And we do the same thing. I'll pray for you. Whenever someone asks me to pray for them, typically what I'll do is I'll say, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now together about it. Or we say to people, if you need anything, let me know. Well, instead, be proactive and see, you know, there's something that they probably could need right now. You know, they're hurting. Maybe a meal would help. Maybe just sitting down or visiting with them for a little bit and offering some encouraging words to them. Or we say these words, and I've just come from the South, y'all know that. So I've been in North and South Carolina, so I've been saying y'all lately. You know a bunch of y'all, don't you? You know y'all. I say, my Southern friends here, all right. So we say these words, bless your heart. What does that mean? You know, bless your heart. Put some action to that blessing. You know, actually bless them, not with your words, but with your deeds, with your actions. Put something to it. And now we continue to think about that, and that true faith is carried out by works. But I want to be clear. I said something there about, you know, James poses this question, can this faith save them? Well, listen, I want to be very clear here. James is not in any way, shape, or form saying here that your works are salvation. Okay? Make sure you understand that. So you think, well, I'm doing a good job, Pastor, and I'm good to go, and I'm saved, and I'm doing good things. Good for you. That's great, but that's still not your salvation. There's only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. So we know that scripture from the book of Ephesians, that no man can save themselves lest any man should boast, but it is by the grace of God that we are saved. That's it. But if we are truly Christians, we are carrying out those good deeds. We are living out our faith. Our good works are an overflow of Jesus within our hearts. A good works inside of us are why we live out our faith. We want other people to see Jesus. Good works are not performed for salvation. They perform because of salvation. Write that down. That's good. You might want to use that later, and then you won't even have to quote me. Good works are not performed for salvation. They are performed because of salvation. Do something. Jesus tells us to do something. And if you really, really love Jesus, you'll do something. There's a story about a little boy who is on an errand, and his mom sent him to the store to buy a dozen of eggs. Now, I don't know when this was, but he went to the store and he bought a dozen eggs. And on the way home, he tripped and he fell and he dropped the eggs, and every one of them in there broke. And a group of people gathered around this little boy to see if he was doing okay. Are you all right? There, there, honey. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. And one elderly gentleman walked up to the young man and he said, "Here, son, here's a quarter." And he turned to all of the other people around that were gathered there around that little boy and he said, "I care 25 cents worth. How about the rest of you?" Interesting. He put his money where his mouth was, literally right there, didn't he? "I care 25 cents worth. How much do the rest of you care?" James might pose the same question to us. How much do you care? With all that surrounds us as Christians, we should be the first ones to respond. We should be the first ones to take that step, to show the love of Christ, to show the world our faith through our actions because of salvation. Because of what Christ has done for us. And in so doing, we can bless other people and we can grow and mature ourselves. There is a final thought that I'd like to share with you this morning. And if you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, these are the words of Jesus, salt and light. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus begins by calling us salt of the earth. As you know, salt was highly valued in scriptural times. It preserved meat. It preserved things to make them last longer. It gave enhancement to the flavor of the food. We know today that it also causes health problems, don't we? But in that time, for what they were using it for, it served its purpose. And Jesus then warns us that if salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer useful for anything. It's thrown out and trampled underfoot. What good is a Christian who loses their saltiness? The Bible tells us we're not good for anything. It's just an internal faith, but it's not been made external so that other people can see it. Jesus continues in this same passage that says, "You are the light of the world." And just as salt preserves, the light in the world reveals and guides us. And it brings out those flaws just like that mirror. It shows us the things in the darkness that we need to avoid. True faith is meant to shine before others, to benefit others. And if it's not, then it's ineffective. It's dead. Our faith is not meant to be hidden. It's meant to be shared. If you're a little kid right now, you'd say, "But why? But why?" So that we can give glory to God. That's why. That we can give glory to God, that our actions should reflect the character that is internal with us, and that we overflow with the love of Jesus Christ. And so the way that we treat people, the way that we give generously, the way that we act humbly, that we speak encouragement to one another, reveals Jesus in our hearts to a world in need. Rather than receive the glory for ourselves, for what we do, we point to God and we give Him thanks and we give Him all the glory for what He was able to do through us by the power of His Holy Spirit. Faith and works, they're inseparably linked in this passage, with work serving as a demonstration of a practical and active faith. But again, I remind you of that scripture that's recorded in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." I want to say that I see many good things here of how this church effectively carries out works. Not for their own glory, but to give glory to God. And you hear me say these things often, but I want you to know that even though we might be small in number, we're doing some big things that impact people's lives. And God is blessing people through the ministry that we have here, through our clothing closet, through our worship services, through our ministry and church service on Wednesday night at Community Table, through Core Community, through serving at the food pantry. These are some of the ways that we are living out our faith. There are some ways that we've continued to do that, and by sharing the Word of God in our Sunday school, by sharing the love of Christ in our community, and welcoming those who are sinful just like us, and sharing with them the love of Christ. There are people that are volunteering in our nursery, rocking little babies, changing their diapers, loving on their parents when they come in. There are people that are simply a source of encouragement that send letters and notes and cards and emails and texts that make a difference when someone is going through a tough time. We still need somebody, and I'll keep saying this until the Lord provides this person. We still need somebody to teach those children on Wednesday night. That's a way that you can live out your faith. Somebody is being called to do that. Somebody here knows somebody that has talked to them about it. I don't know, but maybe you're that person to love on those kids, not only on Sunday morning, but also on Wednesday night, and to share with them the message of Christ. Maybe God has spoken to your heart. You see, the world gives us many opportunities to show others that our faith is real. How then will we live out our faith? How then will we continue to take that first step this week and watch how God will use us in new and exciting ways? I can't wait to hear about your week when we come back here in 7 days to see how you've lived out your faith and what God has done and new ways that he has revealed himself to you. And I've provided questions that were in the Vine earlier this week on Friday, and they're in your bulletin today, to further reflect on what's been said and heard here today, so lest we won't forget that we are not only to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that transforms us. We pray that you would help us to live out our faith in practical ways. And lest we not forget that we are all empowered by you through your Holy Spirit to guide us, to serve and love you and others, and to glorify you in heaven. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.